I'm going to ask you if you can stand on your feet as we pray, just thank, worship this wonderful God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, humbled in our spirits. We come just lifting up your powerful, wonderful name, Lord, that there's no name above your name. Father, nothing compares to your name. For Father, there's no name under heaven. Under this earth, Lord, that's more powerful than your name.
Yes.
So, Father, I just want to worship your name right now, Lord. Praise your name right now, Lord. Glorify your name right now, Lord. Thank you for your name right now, Lord. And we place it, Lord, on high, Father. Father, right now, Lord, I pray that as I decrease, Father, I pray that you increase in me, Lord. And, Father, as I stand here today, Lord, before your people, Lord, I pray that you give me the strength to proclaim the gospel. Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, that it will fall open ears and receiving hearts. I pray right now, Lord, that those who have an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. Father, we thank you and we praise you. In your Son Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's grab hold of our souls. Left the word of God and say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible. I am.
What it says I am.
What it says I am.
I can do.
I can do.
What it says I can do.
What it says I can do.
I'm a believer.
Not a doubter.
I'm a doer. Not just a hearer.
And my life is the better.
After having heard. The word of faith. Faith comes by hearing.
The word of God.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
We come to the final words of Jesus on the cross today.
Amen.
Coming out of the book of Luke.
Amen.
Chapter 23. And today's title of the message is Committed.
Amen.
Say again.
Committed. Committed. We've gone through these six of the Jesus' last sayings on the cross, and today is passion time. It's time to die. And it's 3 o'clock p.m. on a Friday afternoon. And it's another hot day in Jerusalem. But things are worse now. There's more blood. There's more screams. More gore. The insects swarm around these three naked bodies that are hanging on the cross. There are shouts, restless words coming from the crowd. Several hundred people have gathered on Skull Hill. And they're there to watch the end of the man in the middle. It hasn't been an ordinary day. Not that you could ever call a crucifixion ordinary. But the Romans did it all the time. It was their favorite method of dealing with criminals and troublemakers. There were plenty of easier ways to kill people, and the Romans knew all of those ways, but crucifixion had its advantage. The primary one was being that crucifixion was such a gruesome spectacle that it caught the public's attention in such a way that something mundane like poisoning could never do the trick. But this time the Romans had hit a daily double, so to speak. They were crucifying three men. right on the eve of the Jewish Passover. And that meant the city would be clogged with thousands of religious pilgrims. The message would become loud and clear. And that is, don't mess with us. Things had started well. The three men were crucified at 9 a.m., the normal starting time for the day. The crowd was larger than usual, mostly because the man in the middle was one Jesus of Nazareth. The hard part was nailing the men to the cross. At best, it was a bloody ordeal. If the victim struggled, and most of them did, the thing could turn around into a gory mess, but the man in the middle had not struggled much at all.
Right.
He looked half dead before they laid him on the cross. The scourging must have taken a lot out of him. The first 3 hours were no problem. The three men spoke to one another briefly, and people in the crowd shouted various things back and forth, but mostly they were jeers and taunts and mockings. Jesus seemed to have a following of people. He had a few friends and family members that came to watch the proceedings and hang around, but they didn't say too much. 3 hours of darkness fell, and then everything changed right about noon. Suddenly everything went dark. Sun disappeared. Just like that, the thick darkness settled over the land. It was the darkness as if you were in the middle of a cave. Thick, ugly darkness that made the hair in the back of your neck stand up. It lasted for about 3 hours. Then at 3 o'clock, the sun came out just as suddenly as it disappeared. And all eyes was drawn to the center cross. Something had happened to Jesus during those 3 hours. Exactly what, it's hard to say. The other two, they looked awful too. The way men always did when they were crucified, but Jesus, something different. Something terrible had happened to him during those 3 hours of darkness. Some awful burden that had descended on him and sucked out what little life he had left in him. You didn't have to be a doctor to know that he was about to die. His chest heaved. Each breath that he took, his eyes looked far off. His voice was little more than these guttural groans. He had the death rattle in his throat. Suddenly, he shouted something. Somebody shouted back to him. Then the soldiers moistened his lips with a sponge stuck on the end of a hyssop stalk. His head dropped. He took another breath. And he shouted, "Tetelestai." And it seemed as if he died right there. A moment passed by, and then he took another final breath, and he shouted, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Then the scripture says he bowed his head, and his whole body seemed to slump forward. Everyone was stunned in silence, followed by, "Surely this was the Son of God." Some said, "Who was that man?" There was anger now, fear on the faces of the crowd, and here and there soft sobs and quiet tears. Much later came the spear in his side, but Jesus, he was long dead at that point. And this is how the writer Luke was a physician. This is how he tells the story of the last moments of Jesus' life, starting at chapter 23 of Luke, verse 44. It says, "Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into your hands I commend my spirit.' Having said this, he breathed his last breath." Now, every one of those words tells us something important. Jesus hung there on the cross, went to the point of saying, "Tetelestai, it is finished." Then he gets to this part of the cross and he says, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Now, the first thing I want you to take notice of is that his spirit was not, is that his spirit was given into the hands of God, not taken.
Nah.
If you remember, when he first met Pilate, he wouldn't answer him. And Pilate said, "Don't you know that I have the power to take your life?"
Yeah.
And then Jesus said to him, Jonathan, he said, "No man takes my life, but I lay it down." Watch this. And then he said, "But I'm able to pick it back up again."
Amen.
Notice, if you will, he started out on the cross with the first words when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Here he's addressing God with an intimate name of Father. It's like the son talking to his dad.
Amen.
But at some point in time, the connection between the father and the son was lost. Because right around one point in time, he said, my God, why have thou forsaken me?" And he ceased to address him as Father. Because as he hung on the cross and took the sins of the world, the Father could no longer bear to look upon his own son. And he ceased to be Daddy and became could not look upon sin. So you know what he did, Ellie? The Father turned his back on the Son. In essence, he was saying to him, "Go to heaven." And his son lost the connection. But one thing that you and I need to understand is that you might be disconnected now.
Come on. It's all right.
But you can be reconnected again.
Thank you, Jesus.
Come on, son. You see, by the time he got through with the sixth word and said, "It is finished," the connection between him and God was back together again.
Amen.
By the time he got to the seventh word, he was calling him Daddy all over again.
All right.
He said, "Father,
yes,
into your hands,
yes,
I commend my spirit." In other words, this is what he said. This is what he was saying to Sarah. He said, "I'm tired of being in other folks' hands.
Come on.
I was in Pilate's hands. I was in the hands of the Sanhedrin's. And in their hands, they whipped me." He said, "In their hands, they beat me with many stripes, Daddy. In their hands, they laid a crown of thorns upon my head, Daddy. In their hands, they punched me above my face, Daddy. In their hands, they pulled the beard off my face, Daddy. In their hands, they beat me black and blue, Daddy. With their hands, they laid a 200-pound cross on my back, Daddy. With their hands, they nailed 9-inch spikes in my hands and feet, Daddy. With their hands, they thrust a spear in my side, Daddy. I'm tired of being in the hands of wicked folks, Daddy."
Come on.
"I'm tired of being in the hands of the naysayers and all the haters, Daddy.
Yeah,
I'm tired of being in the hands of liars, Daddy.
Yeah,
I'm tired of being in the hands of other folks, Daddy. I want to be back into your hands, Daddy."
Yeah,
wicked hands have done all these things to me, Daddy. "Father, I commit myself back into your hands."
Yeah.
That word "commit" means to deposit something valuable in the same place. It's what you do when you take your will or your most valuable possessions and put them in a safe deposit box at the bank. He said, "Daddy, I commit my spirit up to you." My spirit, that phrase means Jesus meant his very life. Can I say that again?
Yeah.
He said, "I commit my spirit," his very life, his personal existence. Come on, don't miss it.
Yeah.
Now that his physical life was over, Jesus commits himself into his Father's hands for safekeeping. He said, "Father, I can no longer care for myself.
Yes.
I place myself in your good hands for safekeeping." You know, then at that point, Jesus reached all the way back to his childhood. Because this particular quote, "I commit my spirit unto thee," is a quotation taken from the scripture. See, in Jewish history, it was a prayer that every child was taught, and they were taught, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit."
Yes.
It's just like what we teach our children when we teach our children the bedtime story. You all know it. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray my soul to the Lord." And Jesus goes all the way back to his childhood and reaches and grabs that prayer and says, "Father, I commit my spirit into your hands." Now, the Greek word, there's a Greek word, periphike, and periphike means that I entrust it unto you.
Yeah.
It's like when you bring your money to the bank and you entrust it in the bank because you're coming back to get it again.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Jesus says, Daddy, I got a little business I got to go take care of. I got to go down in hell and take care of some business with the devil. Because he believes that he's defeated me and your people. So I'm going to have to entrust, I've got a paraphernalia, some valuables into your hands.
Yeah.
See, Jeremiah, I don't know about some of these young folks, but I can pretty much be assured that when you and I was coming up, we was getting ready to fight. We didn't do the drive-by shootings like the young folks do nowadays.
Amen.
Am I right about it? We was getting ready to fight, Brother Gerald. We would say, first, we say, meet me at Welfare Park.
Come on.
You know what I'm talking about. If you was at school, you said, meet me in the playground. 3 o'clock. Right? By the time you get to the park or at the playground, everybody started to form in that big circle.
Amen.
Right? We had that big circle, and the two folks that were going to be battling in the middle, they'd be in the center of that circle. You know what I'm talking about? You had a couple. But they had the two that was going to get it on, they were in the middle of that circle. But just before they get ready to fight, you say, wait a minute. I got the paraphernalia. I got the paraphernalia. Somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
You hear what I'm saying? I got the paraphernalia. Somebody that can take control of my stuff, my valuables. Then hold on to my valuables for a minute because we got something going down over here that I can't lose this stuff here. This stuff got to get this thing off me. You might even have to get some help out there from somebody. You say, get this thing off me. I got the fear of feet gang. Here we go. I got to hand over some of my most valuable possessions to somebody, watch this, that I can trust.
Amen.
So Jesus said, I got to go down in hell. Lord, while I'm gone, I got the paraphernalia in my life into your hands.
Yeah.
Because I got some fighting to do, Lord. Right now, the devil's down there. He's having a party. Now, the moment that Jesus gives up the ghost, his flesh dies. But by the Spirit, he goes into heaven. He begins to preach in the Spirit in prison.
Yeah.
See, those folks down there were held captive. They got bonds on and chains. And Satan's got this party going on, but Jesus goes down there and says, party's over.
Man.
He says, you got something that belonged to me, Satan. As a matter of fact, now that I can kick down the door of your house, he said, I want the keys.
Yeah.
Not only do I want the keys, but I want death.
Come on.
And I want the graves. And not only that, I want all the people that were held captive all this time. And do you know, glory to God, that Jesus Christ led the captivity captives out of the bonds of prison and then into the presence of God?
Yes.
He said, Lord, I'm just going to be gone for a few minutes. But while I'm gone, I entrust all my valuable possessions, my life, into your hands. And now the Bible says that he's seated where? At the right hand of the Father.
Yeah.
You know what that tells me? That tells me that Jesus Christ accomplished his assignment.
Yeah.
He came here, hung, died on the cross, and completed what he was sent here to do.
Amen.
He didn't let nobody
come on.
Or no thing stand in the place and for the purpose that he was sent here to do.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
On the cross, Jesus Christ accomplished his goal. His Father says, now, this is my Son in whom I am what? Well pleased.
Yeah.
He came to do the will of the Father.
Amen.
So I want to end with just three things I want to share with you before I go out of this particular passage of Scripture. Verse 46, he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Excuse me. Let me go back to verse 46. He says, and when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. The first thing Jesus did was he cried out.
Come on.
See, sometimes, saints, we just gotta cry to God.
Yeah.
When all hell breaks loose in our lives, we have to open up our mouths. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
We have to speak the words of God.
Right.
See, and we have to remember the words of the Holy Spirit that has been placed on the inside of us. We have to cry out to God. Speak the word only.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus was doing here. He borrowed these words from David over in Psalms chapter 31. Verse number 35, it says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.
Yeah.
In times of stress and mess,
come on.
David cried out to God. Now, this wasn't a defeatist cry or a cry of loss. This was a cry of victory.
Yeah.
See, a triumphant cry. This was, he had just won the battle. It was a transforming cry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, the victory had been accomplished.
Yeah.
He didn't throw in the towel. He finished the task.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Jesus cried out to God.
That's good.
And I believe sometimes in the church we get so prim and proper that we can't cry out to God.
Yes.
Some of us need to right now be prostrate on this floor, crying out to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
The second thing the scripture says is that he says, Father, I commend. To commend is to validate. To commit. And that, like I said, this was a direct quote from Psalms 31, verse number 5. David here was committed to his assignment. He says, Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God, of truth. See, sometimes in the church, folks, we get lax. We get complacent. We get lax and complacent about our assignments and the things that God has called us to do. Come on now, talk to me. Don't get quiet on me now.
Yeah.
We get lax in ministry.
Yes.
We ain't up front. nothing. But that's really not the case.
Right.
See, I'm afraid, watch this, I'm afraid that many of us are seated on the premises but not standing on the cross. See, you got to find your promise in the Word of God and stand on that. Because if God said it, guess what? He'll do it.
That's right.
He will bring it to pass. We say we have faith in God, but do we really trust Him? David trusted Him. He said, Father, I commend my spirit to your hand. I'm committed to you. Conveys that he is completely trusts God. Jesus used this phrase when he was dying on the cross. And David here was showing his absolute dependence on God the Father. Just as Jesus says, Lord, I'm entrusting my spirit into your hands. I trust you with the assignment that you have for me. See, I don't think many of us trust God with the assignment that He has for us. So we don't trust Him, so we get lax. I like it when it gets quiet.
Amen.
Thirdly, he contributed. He did what?
He contributed.
The scripture said that he gave up the ghost. That was a willful and voluntary act.
Yes.
He gave it up. Yes. It wasn't taken.
Amen.
But he contributed his life, watch this, so that you and I can have eternal life.
Amen.
Amen.
He could have easily called 12 legions of angels to rescue him.
Yes.
So, I mean, can you imagine that he was hanging on that cross? He could have easily come down. He could have easily called 12 legions of angels to rescue him. Now, I looked up legions. One legion is 6,000 angels.
Yeah.
He said, I could call 12 legions of angels. And if my multiplication is correct, Brother Jonathan, that's about 72,000 angels.
Amen.
He could have come down off that cross if that's what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
But he contributed his life by hanging out there literally for us.
Yes.
He could have easily come off that cross. He gave his life so that we can have the tree of life. He contributed the most precious thing, his existence, his being, everything that he had, he gave.
Yes.
And he did it. That's why the King of Glory left heaven. That's why the King of Glory was born in Bethlehem in poverty. He died in shame in agony on the cross. And he did it just for you. Yeah, make it personal, just for me. He did all that he did so that you might simply call him by faith and be saved by grace.
Amen.
He did all that he did just for you so that you might miss hell and enter heaven.
Yes. Amen.
In fact, what he did provided the only way that anyone has or ever will be saved.
Yes.
What he did for you was open up an exclusive way into saving a saving relationship with God the Father. Guess what? He did it just for you. He did all of that just for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
So my question to you as I close is, what have you done about it in your life? Have you trusted him? Have you trusted him as your Savior? Have you trusted him as your Lord? What have you committed to? What have you contributed? I want to encourage you today. To do these three last things. Start by crying out to God.
Yes.
Commit yourself, your life and your gift and your being to God. And contribute those three things unto him. Because whether you realize it or not, this man on the cross, he was committed.
Yes.
And he was committed for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Come on and give him some praise. Please, he already went down in hell.